Genesis 6 from verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything, just as God commanded him. Let's turn to prayer as we come to his word. Father, we praise you that you are a God who speaks to us. Thank you that your word, even when it's uncomfortable, is loving. Thank you for the warnings that we see in your word. And thank you for the hope. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for how your word always points us to the cross of Jesus. So please would you help us to listen well to your warning today? Would you help us to understand everything we hear? And would it make a real impact in the way that we think, the way that we live, the way that we approach you? Please be speaking to us through your word, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would really love to live in the Caribbean. Some of us here this morning are from the Caribbean. You might not agree. But to me, it seems like the perfect destination, the ideal destination. It's always sunny. They don't ever have any rain, I'm sure. The beaches are white and sandy. It's always warm. Everyone's really friendly. There's a relaxed pace of life. It's just ideal. Janet's laughing as if that's not the case. But in my mind, it is, okay? The Caribbean is an ideal place to live. It's where I want to be. There's only one drawback.
No Arsenal.
The other drawback to being on the Caribbean is the hurricanes. Hurricanes only happen in certain parts of the world because you have to have particular conditions for a hurricane to form. And it just so happens that lovely area of the world is right in the hot spot. And so often we'll hear on the news that another hurricane is on its way, it's coming, a storm is brewing. And you'll see the weather radar on the TV with that swirly little blotch. And the blotch is moving and you can see where it's going to go next. And sometimes the storm is so bad, the hurricane is so serious, that they have to evacuate the islands. And they say to everyone there, you need to get off the island, there is a storm coming. You always have a few who don't want to leave. A few who say, nah, I'm happy here at home. And so you say, you need to get off the island. If you don't get off the island, you're not going to be safe, you're going to die. A little while later, the storm arrives. The storm hits. And everyone who has gone off the island is safe. Hurricane announced, hurricane arrived. And in between hurricane announced and hurricane arrived, there is a crucial time window. In that time window, the people on the island still have a chance to escape. And this morning, we find ourselves in a very similar time window. We're learning from the true story of Noah. And this part of Noah's story tells us that judgment is coming. Last week, sin is a big problem. This week, judgment is coming. Last week, we looked at the problem of sin. And this week, it's the consequences of sin. God's right anger leads to judgment. Judgment is coming. And this morning, we find ourselves in that time window between judgment announced and judgment arrived. If you're not yet a Christian, this is a weather warning that you really need to take seriously. And if you have taken refuge in Jesus, then the call for us is to be faithful weather reporters, those who warn of the danger before the window shuts. Judgment is coming. That's the big thing this morning. And we're going to see three things about judgment coming. Could you click me on? It's not on. There you go. Judgment is coming. Here's the first thing. Judgment is deserved. God has created in us a desire for justice. We want people to get what they deserve. Isn't that true? Would that be true for yourself? You want people to get what they deserve, and you don't want people to get what they don't deserve. Just think about how you respond, how you feel when you're treated unfairly, when you're blamed for something that you didn't actually do, it wasn't your fault. Everything within us gets quite upset, doesn't it? We say, that's not fair, I don't deserve that. Think about the TV shows that you watch. What's your favourite TV show? I guess that a lot of the stuff we watch have this theme, this desire for justice, this quest for the truth, quest for what is fair. So you've got crime dramas and law dramas and prison dramas. It's a big theme in the movies as well, this quest for justice. Everything in us longs for what is right. We want people to get what they deserve and not get what they don't deserve. Even from an early age. So just listen to the kids after the service. It will soon happen, right? From an early age, this is one of our favourite phrases. That's not fair! It wasn't my fault. It was her, it was him. That's not fair. Everything in us wants what is right. We want people to get what they deserve. We don't want people to get what they don't deserve. So what about God's judgment? Is God's judgment fair? Maybe it seems quite extreme. Look at verse 7 of chapter 6. The Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created. Verse 13. I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Verse 17. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. Chapter 7, verse 4. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. That seems quite extreme. And that's why it's so important for us to remember what we heard last week. To remember that sin is serious, that it's disgusting. Let me refresh your memory. Chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. His heart was deeply troubled. Verse 11, the earth was corrupt in God's sight, full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become. The world is corrupt. The world is violent. The world is wicked. The world is rotten. That's what it was like in Noah's day, and that's what it is like today in our world. And it's not just talking about the world. It's talking about us. And sometimes the problem is so serious, things have gone so bad, things are so rotten, that the only choice you have is to wipe everything out and start again from scratch. Last year, you might have heard there was a report published into a children's home, which was on the island of Jersey. It was an awful place. Over a period of several decades, children were abused. They suffered abuse and neglect, cruelty. Hundreds of crimes were committed against these needy, vulnerable children. And the conclusion of the report was really interesting. The recommendation of this report was that the buildings of the children's home, the buildings should be completely destroyed. The report said it was a symbol of turmoil and trauma. There was so much shame and disgrace associated with the buildings that they needed to be just knocked down and start again from scratch. And that's how it was in the world of Noah's day. Sin brings so much shame and disgrace that this is the only option. God says it's going to be total wipeout. Sin is so bad that complete destruction is the only option. That's why a flood was on its way. That's why there was a weather warning. That's why the sky was going to go dark and the rain was going to begin to fall. This is deserved judgment. And actually, the flood is not the end of the story. Every judgment that we read about in the Bible points us forward to the final punishment of hell. The Bible clearly says that all those who have not taken refuge in Jesus will spend eternity away from his smile in the place that the Bible calls hell. That's so uncomfortable. But if we understand the Bible rightly, we know that it's deserved judgment. If we think God's judgment is too harsh, it's because we don't really understand how disgusting sin is, just how much it offends a perfect God. It sickens him. Sin is so serious that only the sacrifice of the perfect Son of God was enough to pay the price. That's how costly the cure is, because that's how serious the disease is. And as we saw last week, this deserved judgment isn't just for the stuff that we see out there. This isn't just what's coming for the child abusers and the murderers. Actually, the problems we see out there are the same as the ones we see in here. Every sin is offensive in God's nostrils. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one good, not even one. Anytime you've said something you shouldn't, anytime you've looked at something you shouldn't, or lost your temper, or watched the wrong thing on Netflix, or been disrespectful to someone on the internet, every time you failed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, every time you failed to do what was right when you could have done, if you're guilty of any of those things or anything else, then the Bible says this judgment, even though it seems harsh, is not actually harsh at all. It's deserved. It's what I deserve. It's what you deserve. But the second thing is that judgment is warned. And here we see the immense love of God. Have you ever wondered why we talk so much about sin in this church? Maybe you're sat here this morning thinking, man, last week was intense and this week's not much better. Why does the Bible talk about hell so much? Have you ever thought that? Hell is the ultimate place of judgment. A place of torment, where people are separated from the favour of God, unable to do anything about the agony that they will experience forever. Jesus is sometimes described as the theologian of hell, because he is the one who talks about hell more than anyone else. He describes it as a place so painful that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place of eternal darkness and agony, a fiery lake. Those are not nice things to talk about. So if Jesus is such a nice guy, then why is he always going on about hell? It's not nice to talk about nasty things. Imagine that I was your doctor. And I wanted to play a horrible prank on you. Imagine that you were my patient, so you came into my surgery. And I just decided to make something up. I'm not a qualified doctor, so I might well do that, okay? But you came into my surgery, and I just wanted to make something up. And I said to you, I'm really sorry. but you have a terrible disease, an infection in your right arm. I know you can't see it, but it really is there. And actually, this infection, there's nothing we can do. It's just going to spread into the rest of your body. And so your only hope is for me to take you to surgery and to chop off your arm. And so I take you into surgery and I chop off your arm. Now, if I'd made that up, that's not a funny joke. That is a cruel and despicable thing to do. That is horrible and nasty. I would be inflicting unnecessary pain. But what if it was true? If it was true, that changes everything. If you really did have a disease that was going to spread into the rest of your body and your only hope is for me to cut your arm off, then that would be a loving thing to do. If the danger is real, the warning is loving. If the danger is real, then the warning is loving. Jesus is not a nasty guy who loves talking about pain and suffering. He is a loving doctor who has the only cure. And so he has to give you the warning. How do we know that Jesus loves us? One of the answers is because he talks about hell so much. If the danger is real, the warning is loving. And God shows his love to Noah by giving him a warning. This is beautiful. Look at verse 7 again. The Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I've created. Verse 13, so God said to Noah. 7 verse 1, then the Lord said to Noah. Think about the kindness of God in what he did here. God knew what was going to happen. He knew that the flood was going to come. He knew that at this hour, on this day, in this month, the sky would go dark, the rain would begin to fall, and by then it would be too late. And he tells Noah ahead of time. He says, look, this is going to happen. Why? So that he's got time to build a boat. It's a wonderfully loving thing for God to do. This is like the weather reporter in the Caribbean saying, there's a hurricane on the way. You've got a chance to do something about it. So when God talks about judgment, it's not because he's an evil maniac sitting up in heaven, stroking a cat, cackling at all the pain that he's about to cause. That's not God. It's love. I know this is the second week in a row that we've talked about the seriousness of sin, the consequences of sin. And maybe you're thinking, Luke, this is a bit too much. Maybe there are people here not here this morning, who were here last week because they didn't like what they heard. Maybe you're thinking, look, Luke, this is intense. But I promise you it's love. In these 6 weeks, we are considering the building blocks of the Bible message. And we have to understand the bad news. But it's love. If you were stood in a road out there, and one of those trucks that goes past to the bakery was coming down the road, 30 miles an hour. You were stood in the road. And I shouted to you and I said, watch out, there's a truck coming. You're going to get splatted. You wouldn't say, Luke, come on now. You can't use that language. That's a bit extreme. You can't use such negative language in this day and age. You wouldn't say that. You'd jump out of the way and then you'd say, thank you. If the danger is real, then the warning is loving. And I don't want anyone here to get hit by a truck. God gives us a warning of judgment as a sign of his love. And actually, this is a repeated theme that we see throughout the Bible. So back in the first few chapters of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve are living there, and God gives them a warning. He says, don't eat from that tree in the middle of the garden, because if you do, you will surely die. When God gave his people Israel the law, he said, be careful to obey me, be careful to honour me with your lives, otherwise all sorts of awful things will happen. He sent them prophet after prophet who said to them, you've gone astray, you've wandered off the track, you need to come back, otherwise judgment is coming. God is so kind. He's so gracious. He's so patient. He gives us the warning of what's about to happen. He doesn't just zap us. God's judgment is not like a mousetrap that just without any warning. Rather, in advance, he tells us what's coming so we've got a chance to do something about it. What's the right way to respond to a warning? Imagine you were driving along a road and you came across a sign And on the sign was a little cliff and a car going over the edge. That sign is giving you a warning. It's warning you of a danger. It's saying there is a cliff coming. The wrong way to respond to that warning would be to shout at the road sign. Stop being so negative. The wrong way to respond to the warning is to say, okay, I see what you're saying, but I don't believe you. I'm going to choose not to believe you. I'm going to carry on. The wrong way to respond to that road sign would be to say, well, I'm just going to pretend I didn't see that. And yet often that's exactly how we respond to the warning that God gives us. We say, no, you can't tell me that. We say, well, I just don't believe that that's true. We say, well, I'm just going to pretend, plug my fingers in my ears and pretend I haven't heard. Please take the warning seriously. If the danger is real, then the warning is loving. And God in his kindness gives us this warning. That's just like he gave Noah the warning. And the reason that we mustn't ignore the warning is because of the third thing, which is that judgment is coming. Sometimes in life, we get empty threats. Have you ever had an empty threat? Someone says something like, maybe it's your parents, you younger ones, who say, if you don't tidy your room, I'm gonna sell your PlayStation. I'm going to chuck it out the window. And you kind of think, I don't think that's really going to happen. Your heart's not really in it. We get empty threats in life, but not with God. What God says, God does. Look at chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Sure enough, the sky went dark, the clouds began to form, the rain began to fall. The flood waters rose, and verse 21, every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People, animals, creatures that move along the ground, the birds wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. You see, Noah's ark is not this cute little children's book story. It's not smiling lions and giraffes poking their head out of the top of the ark. It's not the animals went in two by two, hurrah, hurrah. This is a sober and serious story of judgment, deserved judgment. What God says, God does. He wasn't mucking about. And once again, this is the pattern of the Bible. This isn't just a one-off. In the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree, because if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. What happens? They eat of the tree and they die. When God gave his people Israel the law, he said, be careful to obey me. Be careful to honour me with your life. Otherwise, all sorts of awful things are going to happen. What happens? They fail to obey. They don't honour him with their lives. And all sorts of awful things happen. The prophets came and they said, you've gone astray. You've wandered off the path. You need to come back. Otherwise, judgment is going to come. What happens? They ignore the prophets and judgment comes. God has a track record. What God says, God does. He doesn't make empty threats. So when God warns, we can be sure that judgment is coming. The Bible makes it very clear that the Jesus who died on the cross, rose again, ascended into heaven, and one day he's going to return. And when Jesus returns, he is going to return as judge. A judge who knows all things. A judge who knows the difference between those who have taken refuge in him and those who haven't. That's what God promises in his word. You can read it in the Bible. It's what it says. And what God says, God does. Even when it seems unlikely. Even when people think you're stupid to believe it. Because in fact, the Bible promises us that people will scoff. They will mock. It says this. They'll say, where is this coming that he promised? They'll say, nothing's happening. They'll say, don't hold your breath. Jesus isn't coming back. They'll say, no, just like it was in Noah's day, the people didn't believe, and so it will be today. People will say, it's not going to happen. You don't need to worry. You're believing a fairy tale. Rain? What rain? But what God says, God does. Judgment is coming. And so we need to take that warning seriously. And right now, today, this morning, the warning of God is coming to us through his word, the Bible. The warning of God is coming through my words as they leave my mouth. God is announcing that judgment is coming. Jesus will return, and all those who are not trusting him as their Savior and their Lord will go to hell. But just like that hurricane, Jesus announces the judgment before the arrival of the judgment. And this morning we find ourselves in that crucial time window between judgment announced and judgment arrived. And my role, like the weatherman in the Caribbean, is to say, get off the island. Get in the ark. Look at chapter 7, verse 23 again. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. You see, the storm came, the sky went dark, the rain started to fall, the waters rose, everything that had breath perished, except Noah. Noah was safe. Noah escaped. And this is why Noah's story is a story of comfort, because there is a great escape from the judgment that we deserve. We deserve to perish. But whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but will have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. How? You know, as Jesus died on the cross, the sky went dark in the middle of the day. And it wasn't because rain was falling, but because judgment was falling. Judgment was falling on the man hanging on the cross. Jesus took all of my sin onto himself. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. At the cross, Jesus bore the judgment that I deserve. And so if we have taken refuge in him, we are safe. Because Jesus is the ark who bears the storm of God's judgment so that everyone who is inside is safe. He is the one who rose from the dead. He is the one who promises to hold us safely until judgment day. When we stand before the judge of the earth, if we have taken refuge in the ark, we will sail straight into heaven because the judgment has already been paid. Some of us here have taken refuge in Jesus. We know that we are safe from the coming judgment. And if that's you this morning, praise the Lord. Can I encourage you to be a faithful weather reporter? It's really difficult to stand up here and talk about this kind of thing. You know, your faces are not particularly happy right now. You know, it's a sober topic. And it's really difficult for us individually as we have conversations with our friends. It's tough. It's hard to know how to respond when someone says, so you really think that I'm going to hell? It's hard to know how to respond when people say, no, you're just believing a fairy tale. When they scoff and they mock. When they say it's not going to happen. You're believing a lie. But our role is to be faithful men and women who don't stop warning about this storm that's coming. You'd be a hopeless weather reporter if you knew that a hurricane was coming, but then you decided, do you know what? Those guys in the Caribbean, they're having a really good time. I don't want to really ruin their life. They seem really happy. I'll soften the blow. No, don't worry. It's fine. It's just a light shower, a little sprinkling of rain that's coming. You'd be hopeless. The good news is not good news if you don't have bad news. The good news is not good news if you don't talk about sin. The cross doesn't make any sense without judgment. The great escape, people will never know that great escape if they don't know what they're escaping from. Friends, it is not loving to pull punches. I'm sorry if you found this too intense the last couple of weeks, but I promise you it's love. It's not loving to pull punches. We need to be bold with the whole gospel. And if this morning you have not yet taken refuge in Jesus, then you're not off the island. You're not safe from this coming judgment. Please take this warning seriously. Get in the ark. Take refuge in Jesus. Right now you are in that time window, but one day the window will shut. Jesus could return at any moment. He himself said about that day and about that hour, no one knows. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. They knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus could return as judge at any moment. We could die unexpectedly, and then it will be too late. But right now, while you are still breathing, and while the Lord Jesus has not yet returned, it is a sign of his love. We are in that time window between judgment announced and judgment arrived. And you have the opportunity to take refuge in the only one who can deal with the judgment that you deserve. How do you do that? By asking him. So I'm going to pray. And if you haven't yet taken refuge in the Lord Jesus, then let me encourage you to pray along with me in your heart, to make this prayer your own. Perhaps this morning you've seen that you deserve judgment and there's nothing you can do about it. But I want to say that this is good news, not just sober news. Because through Jesus, we can know rescue, refuge, safety from the judgment we deserve. So let's bow our heads. I'll pray. Father, I confess to you that I do deserve to face your judgment. My sin is disgusting in your sight. My rebellion against you deserves to be punished. It's not comfortable, but I do deserve hell. Thank you that Jesus lived a perfect life and then took my judgment for me. Thank you that he suffered and died in my place. Thank you that as I take refuge in Jesus, I have a great escape from the judgment that I deserve. Please forgive my sin through what Jesus did on the cross. Amen.